This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
It's time now for Green Thumbs in Canterbury, out and about with the Canterbury Horticultural Society.
Ray and Nick, Ray and Lorraine from the Canterbury Horticultural Society out and about in Christchurch. And goodness, haven't we had a few days of lovely weather?
Oh, we have, haven't we? Yesterday was stunning, 23 degrees.
Yeah, great.
Lovely.
So, and because last week we've had that little bit of rain on Thursday, which really helped the garden as well.
Yes. So always good to have the rain, isn't it?
Yeah, it is indeed. Well, of course, you'd be looking forward to the rain. You've just put a new garden bed in.
I have, yes. We got... Three cubic metres of soil a couple of weeks ago from
Living Earth.
Living Earth, that's right, their trust. So I got 3 cubic metres, and so we'd been busy putting all that round and in the new garden bed. So, and in the process of that, splitting up thing, you know, perennials and hostas and just having fun in the garden. I'm loving it.
Oh, well, that's great.
I'm loving it.
And when the weather's so kind, it's lovely to be out there and getting in the fresh air, isn't it?
Yes. I'll be putting the potatoes in very soon,
Have you had them out sprouting?
Oh, well, I bought a bag and they've been sprouting in the bag, so...
Oh, do you like it?
So I've done that in the past.
Yeah,
and they
go pretty well. Yeah. Well, I bought some, but I always really want to get Cliff's kidneys or something. But they only had the 3 kg bags, and I can't use 3 kg of. I'd have to dig up the whole garden to do that. So I got some Marasanka, but they're still 60 to 90 day. Potatoes, and I only want them for Christmas anyway.
Right.
So,
right.
But I'll be getting them in by the end of September, so I'm hoping they'll get sprouting.
Yeah. Well, mine are sprouting already. They're Islam Hardies.
Good.
I do like the Islam Hardies.
Yeah, good main crop.
Yes.
Good main crop.
So I haven't actually grown those ones before, but I'll find out.
You will. And also, you can always harvest them when they're quite small. You don't need to get them really
big,
huge.
Big. No, yeah. So it'd be nice if they're ready for Christmas.
Yeah, indeed. And I put my garlic in at last.
Oh, yes, I was going to ask you, did you get your garlic?
I finally got the garlic in, and it's all up.
Oh, cool.
The whole, I think, 70 corms have all sprouted.
Oh, wow.
So that's great. So it always just shows that as soon as the weather's warm, you know, things start going mad.
Take off. Yeah.
And I see you've got a few tips and tasks there. What have you got?
With the winter flowering camellias, maybe it's a good time to prune them for the flowering for next year, citrus fertilizer to put on them around the drip line.
Absolutely. We've been doing that because, of course, they become dormant over winter.
Yes,
and they don't. Doesn't matter how much you feed them over winter time,
because they're not doing anything, are they? So once they start growing, giving them that, and if you haven't got some seeds in. Already, I mean, not in the garden,
but seed trays,
ready to put them into the garden when we get the warmer weather.
Oh, that's great. Those are all good things for people to get doing now in the garden, aren't they?
They are.
Don't get too excited. We are going to still get frost.
Damn it.
Now, Lorraine, I talked to Shelley Russ, who's a great floral artist in Canterbury and internationally. And you talked to somebody interesting this month too,
didn't you? Yes, I talked to Kat Miller from an Enviro Hub about the braided rivers.
Really interesting to talk about.
And they're going to be having a project at the kiosk in the school holidays with the children. So that'll be good too.
That will be.
Good morning. We are talking to Kat Miller this morning on Enviro Hub. Kat, could you tell us about Enviro Hub and what that entails?
The Enviro Hub is an umbrella of support for all environmental and community groups in the wider Christchurch area. We are here to support, connect and inspire. So if you have a new project that you want to know about or get some ideas on, you can come to me and have a wee chat, and I might say, oh, this group is working on this. This is somebody you should be in touch with, or let you know what else is happening. The idea is that I will be a centre of support and know about it.
And what sort of things do people come and ask you for help with?
We do work closely with ecological restoration groups. We have a whole network, and they often let us know about projects, educate the community, and often they need volunteers, and we can reach out and support and connect them with volunteer groups, and also let the community know a little bit about the ecosystems in Christchurch or in the wider Christchurch area and what we can do to look after and protect.
Sounds good. And whereabouts are you situated?
I'm based here in the kiosk in the Botanic Gardens. You can come in on Tuesdays and Thursdays I'm here. And on Thursdays I have a regular time slot where you can come in from 10:30 till 1:30 and just have a chat. People pop in and out. Sometimes there's just a couple of people here, sometimes they have groups. And we just talk about our environmental challenges and what we can do to make Christchurch a more environmentally friendly place.
Sounds great. And there's also something that you're going to be having for the school holidays that's called Braided River. Can you tell us about that one?
The Braided Rivers are an amazing ecosystem that is unique to a Canterbury area. There's only a handful of Braided Rivers across the world, and the only Braided Rivers in New Zealand are in the South Island, and two-thirds of them are in the Canterbury area. This is a very unique ecosystem where the river is really wide. It relies on the gravels being able to move with the water as they flow down the river, and there's ecosystems that have adapted to this system, and it is essential for their survival. A lot of human activity around the Braided Rivers is actually threatening the existence, and this is threatening the species. There are over 80 species of birds in these areas, and a handful of them are really, really dependent on the unique system that, the unique environment that is provided by the braid.
Wow. And so you're having a program in the school holidays, so how will that work?
So we've connected with Canterbury University, and we have a PACE student who has come in, and she will be setting up an exhibition, so you can come in to the kiosk and learn about her Braided Rivers, learn about some of the bird species. And she's also set it up, so if we do have a event in the kiosk, you can't come in, you will still be able to learn by an app she set up on your phone. You just engage your phone, and then you can go around the Botanic Gardens, and through the Agents of Discovery, some people may have used this program at Victoria Park and other areas in Christchurch. But use this program on your phone and go around the gardens and learn more about the Braided Rivers. And it's an opportunity to get out and about in the Botanic Garden as well. It's a beautiful setting.
Mm. And so the children will be doing, what will they be doing in this? Do you know what's going to be happening for the children in that?
So there's information to learn, and it'll be a whole lot of questions, and it's using augmented reality on your phone, so you'll be able to look at your phone, and it connects with settings in the Botanic Gardens. So not quite Pokemon Go, but kind of along those lines.
Okay, most children know that one, I'm sure. Okay, Kat, the Braided Rivers are very important to Canterbury. Maybe you could tell us why.
The rivers are under threat because of weeds and species that have been introduced that disrupt the way that the rivers are formed. One of the main threats to the Braided Rivers is the Russell lupins. Now, they are an introduced species. They're not a New Zealand native. And they are capable of spreading rapidly through soil, water and wind, and they're also resistant to extreme temperature. And they are beautiful, And there have been programs where people have gone out and thought, let's cast seeds out there. We want more beautiful lupins. If you go further south, down to Waizu area, there are areas where people actually celebrate the look of the lupins, and it is a big threat down there as well. And people have brought that up to Canterbury. So we're here to protect the Canterbury rivers, and this is an opportunity to spread this information down further south and help these guys as well. So what the lupins do is they stabilise the Braidwood River. They stop the gravels from being able to, we say, wander and cause the nice wide river. The birds no longer have a place to nest, and the predators now have somewhere to hide, so they are able to get a lot closer to the birds. They are causing a huge threat to the ecosystems.
So what happens, Kat, when there's a huge rainfall in the mountains?
So the birds' lifestyles are prepared for this. So they nest at times when they're less likely to be threatened. But now with the lupins causing this structure, it stabilises the banks, has narrowed the rivers. And so now the river has nowhere to go if there is a flood, and the farmland is now flooded as well. So the farmers have liked getting more land out of this, but and then what has happened is they now have land that is more prone to be flooded.
And it's affecting the ecology of the birds, isn't it?
And so the birds no longer have the area that they've got reduced area, and their area is no longer as supporting of their lifestyle, of how they've adapted. So they've adapted to live in the Braidwood River over millions of years, but now they no longer have that security.
So it's really important, the work that you're doing.
So, yeah, we are organising a weed busting event. So we're organising people from Christchurch who can go on a bus, and we'll all group together and pull out some of the weeds that are causing structure to the Braidwood River. And we're going to stay the night and then come back on the bus the next day. So weekend excursion, so let us know if you're interested in being part of that.
Maybe you could give us the date so people could put it in their diary.
End of November, 28th of November will be the weekend.
Sounds like a good plan. Thanks very much for all the information, Kat.
Feel free to come into the kiosk on the Botanic Gardens. So I'm here on Thursdays, and I'd love to see you. And come in and see our programs during the school holidays. And we also have displays and let you know what's happening in the wider Christchurch area. So it's not just the Braidwood Rivers that we support. It's everything, all the ecological groups and community and environmental groups in the wider Canterbury area.
Thank you for your time.
This morning, Shirley, it's nice to have you along with us, and I'm talking to Shirley Russ from Canterbury Floral. No, it's not. It's Floral Art Canterbury, isn't it?
That's right, Ray. It is Floral Art Canterbury, and it's a real pleasure to be here with you. It's nice to come back to the CHS. It's quite some years since I've had much to do with CHS.
Well, you looked after us for a wee while, didn't you, before you disappeared overseas on your foreign adventures?
That's right. Yes, I took up an opportunity in Toronto for a few years, but it's lovely to be back in Christchurch. We are the Garden City. We might be the oldest, newest city and all the other things that people tell us we are, but we are still the Garden City, and it's lovely to see spring coming into play around the gardens, particularly with the daffodils, which I've noticed out around the park, and also here a bellbird as I walked over the bridge, and a pigeon.
So. Yes, we were just talking about that. We were wondering, was it a bellbird or a blackbird or what was out there dinging away in the garden? It was lovely. Well, anyway, Shirley, you're here to talk about the Botanical Expo that's coming up at the end of September. Can you tell us a wee bit about it?
Sure, Ray. So the Botanical Expo has grown out of the opportunity that COVID-19 has given us all to work together. So this is for the National Daffodil people, who are having a show down in Lincoln at the end of September, on the 26th and 27th of September at the Lincoln Event Centre. And because the Alpine Society weren't able to have their exhibition or display or competition, they've joined with the National Daffodil people and they'll be part of the event down at Lincoln as well. And then the Floral Art people had their conference, national conference in Christchurch, cancelled this year in May. We were due to take over Ridges and have a quite large exhibition through Latimer Square, and because that was then also cancelled, we've joined with them as well. So a little family of botanical expertise and all combining together to be a botanical expo at the Lincoln Event Centre on the 26th and 27th of September. And it's open on the 26th from the 1 o'clock till 4 o'clock and on the 27th from 10 o'clock till 4 p.m. They'll have some afternoon teas available from courtesy of the Ladbroke School, ladies and people down there, and the entry is $5 per person. So a real bargain afternoon to come and see some fantastic displays of plants, daffodil treasures from throughout the country, and also some floral art as well.
Now, did I see somewhere that there's some rare plants for sale as well?
I understand there will be some very rare plants for sale, so something, little treasures to put into your garden to enjoy through the summer and to have bloom next spring probably as well. But also some ideas of what you could add to your garden or what you might like to take something out and replace and have that new factor coming into your garden. And I think also from the daffodil people you'll see some different things as well. Daffodils are no longer just the yellow blooms that we see nodding merrily in August, at the end of August. They are these beautiful double daffodils that are almost like a camellia, and then the beautiful little split coronas where they flick their colours back over the petals, or also the little miniatures which are becoming very diverse and interesting and have often a much stronger perfume as well because of their relationship to their species, daffodils.
And of course the Alpines have some of this magic stuff, don't they? Some of those little ones that, you know, the little ones that grow up in the crevices and things in the mountains are so gorgeous. And of course now we've got the crevice garden and the botanic gardens. I think we're all a little bit more interested in these sort of plants.
Yes, it's a fascinating opportunity to come and see that crevice garden here in the gardens. And then also to translate that to what we see in the mountains as well and what you can actually do in your garden. I think it's fantastic. So just going back to the expo with the floral art, there's also a real theme on environmental or sustainable art within the floral art. So yes, you'll see flowers within the designs, but you'll also see a range of other materials used. I know for myself, I've used a lot of dogwood, the red dogwood, and it was a real work of lockdown pleasure, shall we say. I had the space in a bubble by myself to actually spend a lot of time on putting that together. The pile from the driveway converted into an art piece.
Yeah, it's wonderful, and that red cornice is gorgeous, isn't it? I've got it, and whenever we cut the tree right down, I always bring it along to the floral art people here at the Horticultural Society, and they love it and take it home. So, it'll be really interesting to see what you've done with it.
Yeah, yes, it will be really interesting. And our good friend at Broadfield Gardens, David Hobb, is actually supporting the expo by providing, I think, about 100 passes to Broadfield Gardens as lucky dip prizes and various things that will be used through those 2 days. So it's the 26th and 27th of September. And there's a Facebook page for it that Suzanne from the Alpine Society has created. It's called Botanical Expo. So there's more information coming up on there over the next few weeks as well.
Just because we're so used to having virtual payment, is it going to be IFPOS at the door, do you know? Or is it just going to, you have to wait and see?
I'm not actually sure on that one, sorry, Ray. I'd suggest it might be a good idea to have $5 tucked in your pocket, but actually tuck a few more dollars in, because if you're wanting to buy a plant treasure, some people may not have IFPOS there to do that with. Yeah. Sometimes cash is still king.
It sure can be. And I know that normally Dave Adams has bulbs, daffodils, bunches of daffodils, and he takes orders for bulbs. So I guess that that'll be...
I'm sure that'll be the same, Ray, yes. And I'm sure there'll be some other growers there exhibiting as well, with it, you know, taking orders as well. So, oh, it's a good opportunity to actually see what's around and... think about how it's going to look later on, or to have a little pot of daffodils. And when so many of us have small gardens now, you can actually put them in the pot for a few years and really appreciate them and move them around and put them in different spots. It's a good way to have a mobile garden which can flourish and flower as you wish.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. Now, my garden's got lots of little pots with little treasures that I've bought at the Alpine and Daffodil Show, and it's amazing they still survive, and my garden is pretty amazing. Now, well, Shelley,
we're looking forward to seeing you come along to the event then.
Well, we'll have to be there on the Sunday. I'll have to get along there, so it'll be good. You talked about the floral art people, so I know lots of people are starting to get a bit more interested in learning more about flowers and flower art. So have you got some information you can share with people?
Sure. So one of the things that I thought would be really interesting to perhaps talk about first was actually the trends that are happening with the floral design at the moment. And one of the things, obviously, is very much about taking the time to be sustainable. So there's a real move away from using Oasis, which is actually not a biodegradable product. And there's a new form of Oasis coming out, which is biodegradable. It still takes some time, but it is more biodegradable than what we've ever had before. And people have also reverted to using a lot of the materials that don't require you to do designs within an Oasis form. So going back to the future, and utilising what perhaps people's grandmothers or mothers used to actually do design work with, and they were very adventurous in their day, and it doesn't stop us being adventurous in our day. So people are starting to use a lot more of the test tubes, or just finding different ways to create water sources for their plant material as well, or simply putting them straight into water in a large container and then having a structure of sticks within the container so that you hold pieces of material in place.
And they look more relaxed, don't they? And more, not casual, but more natural in a way, don't they? When you just put flowers in a vase.
That's right, Ray. They do look more natural. And that is what design is often about. Sometimes we like to push the envelope a little bit further out and be a little bit different. But it's also about that appreciating the plant material for what it provides to us and appreciating the qualities that it has in it, its texture, its form, its colour, its pattern. And its balance and rhythm that it creates within our design. So one of the other trends that is coming really strongly through is actually a revert to using dried plant material. And it's really interesting to see the soothing colours that are coming through in that. So some people still dye them and do different things with them, but if you use them in their natural form, there's a much softer colour palette being utilised, which is much softer on our eyes and also invites us to explore into the plant far more. So I've noticed that's becoming quite interesting in the floristry world, and it's also coming through much more in the whole design. So if you ever look online at some of the designers from Europe and perhaps out of Asia, you're actually starting to see a lot more use of dried flowers. They don't look like how we used them in the 80s.
Yeah. And I saw an article about preserved flowers too, and how the preserved flowers are starting to be used so much more now.
Yes, yeah. So there's different ways to preserve plant material, of course, and that's one of the things that we learn through floral art, is, how to preserve materials with glycerine or various things. In fact, recently I did some preserving of some leaves off the Shackleton's oak tree over at Linwood, and they now are used to be presented within a plaque for people who become connected with Christchurch as a city through the Antarctic Gateway that we have here. Being one of only 5 cities in the world as the gateway city. And so Shackleton planted this particular oak tree, and we were given permission to utilise some of the leaves and preserve them with glycerine. And that's one way to actually keep them looking really quite remarkably supple and fresh looking. And it gives that great preservation to the plant material. So there's lots of different tips and hints that you get to learn about in a practical way as well, rather than necessarily just the written word, which, we should always choose.
Whereabouts can people find information about this, Shirley?
Sorry, whereabouts to learn about floral art? Well, within Canterbury we have a few design centres, if you like to turn them that way. I think a club sounds a wee bit old-fashioned. I think a design centre sounds a little bit more...
modern.
More modern and adventurous like we all are.
Yes.
So in Canterbury we have people that meet in Cheviot like this, and there's an Avon Club out in, they meet in Papanui. There's the Riccarton Club who meet in Riccarton, and there's a Springston Club who actually meet in Springston. Well, you know, that's really really good planning, isn't it? And then we have Floral Art North Canterbury, which meet in Rangiora. And we all meet once a month, and the focus of it is about learning. Sometimes there's an entertainment factor as well, but sometimes it's as entertaining to watch what someone else is doing in their workshop as it is to watch someone else doing a presentation, which might be all polished and professional. So we go along and you join in. Usually, you know, there's probably 10, 15, 20 or 30 club members along, just depending on the club. And there'll be someone who leads the workshop. They'll give you a workshop sheet beforehand, like probably 2 weeks before, to say what you need to bring. And then you come and have a demonstration type situation, and then you get to go and do it yourself. And that's the fun part.
The fun part. And do you get to take it home?
Absolutely. Yeah. And the best thing about taking it home from a workshop is that you can pull it to bits and do it again. And again.
And of course you can make it fit a special place in your house as well, can't you?
Absolutely. Because what you do in a workshop is really just a learning process. Mm. And this is an opportunity for then you go home and personalise it to your particular space. Make it the most exciting it can be in that area, and find what else the design skills that you might have just inherently within yourself that you don't know that you have, because you think, I can never design flowers like those other ladies do, but actually everyone can, because I guarantee that all your listeners have one day picked a flower and popped it in water, and that is the essence of floral design.
Yes, and you're quite right, yes. If people wanted to contact, who could they contact to get more information?
So the easiest way is actually go online to the Floral Arts Society website, which is fasnz.org. And on there you'll find every design centre throughout New Zealand and how to contact them, and when they meet and where they meet. And if you're travelling throughout the country, you'll find there's design centres like this right from North Cape to Bluff.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Shirley. And we're looking forward to getting out to the Botanic Expo at the end of the month. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, Lorraine, it's been really sad, hasn't it, that with the lockdown too. Oh. And I know we have to have it, and I'm thoroughly supported. Yeah. But we haven't had to have very much in the kiosk, have we, really?
No, we haven't. No.
So yeah. I just say to listeners, look, there are small things happening there. Last weekend we had a lovely ceramic display, and I know that we've got other people coming in with things like the bonsai people are coming in and all sorts of. So for listeners to keep an eye on our website page, the Canterbury Horticultural website page, and the Botanic Gardens website, and the Facebook pages, because they're all advertised, and there are some good things coming up.
There is some good things coming up at the end of the month.
That's
all
right.
All going well.
That's right. Yeah. As long as we don't all end up. Well, we don't know what's going to happen. Mm. And also at the end of the month, a really exciting botanical exposition going on down at the Lincoln Event Centre. It's a mixture of the National Daffodil Show, and there'll be some gorgeous daffodils there. Mm-hmm. The Alpine and Woodland Show, and they have wonderful plants. I lust after them, but you know, they just take so much care, but they're beautiful to see. Mm. And there'll be floral art demonstrations. And so that's Saturday, the 26th of September, 1 to 4, and Sunday, the 27th, from 10 to 4. So I might get along there if I can.
Yeah, me too. Some good stuff to look at. Yeah.